Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
When it comes to travel, there's one name that we love to chat with and so happy to have on the program tonight. It's Dawn Gilbertson of the Wall Street Journal, and you've been doing Travel Beat for a couple decades, Dawn. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, I wanted to ask just as a broad thing. We get so many texts on this station saying, I'm trying to book a flight to X, Y, or Z. It is twice as expensive as it was a year ago. Now, that may be an exaggeration or maybe that's specific, but generally speaking, are you encountering a lot of expensive travel options for people right now?
Oh, it's a struggle for people, for sure. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she's trying to get from Indy to Phoenix, and she's looking at $1,000 per person. Yeah, and so it's been that way. You know, as everybody knows, travel demand just, you know, came roaring back. And capacity, you know, the number of seats is not totally matched to where it was in 2019. And airlines, you know, are just, you know, in the driver's seat. I mean, they have the upper hand. And so I don't see it, you know, it depends on a recession, I suppose, you know, obviously.
Right.
But not very many people expect things to fall dramatically unless something happens, you know, to the economy or some airline goes out there and just adds a bunch of crazy number of flights.
Right. Yeah. And you bring up such a great point there. And I think a lot of people wondering, well, okay, I mean, these things ebb and flow, but when you have so much pent up demand, and let's face it, a lot of people still have that pent up feeling, right? I think a lot of people have just been a little bit more hesitant to travel. Maybe now they finally feel relaxed to do so. And lo and behold, they log into a commercial airline website and oh my goodness.
No, it is crazy. I mean, it really is. And, you know, I tell people all the time, and I mean, we've been saying the same thing now for well over a year, right? You know, as travel started coming back, even in late 2020 and throughout 2021, but really, you know, surge last year is, you know, you see a fare you like say you have to go to an event, say you're going to a reunion, a wedding, a cruise, whatever.
You have no choice,
you
right?
You see a fare that's palatable, book it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Keep looking back. Is it going to go down $5? Is it going to go down $10? You know, if this is something you and your family have to go to, you know, book it as long as you can afford it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But I mean, I do check prices religiously. You know, one thing I do quite a bit, it's nothing novel, but, you know, I'll check, you know, most airline tickets now are sold, you know, one way each, right? So you can build your own trip. You can do one way on Southwest, one way on Delta or whatever. But if I'll search different sites, and if I see a one way that I like, say going from, you know, Chicago to New York or Phoenix to Chicago, I'll grab that and then keep shopping for the other leg, you know, whether it's the way out or the way back. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't.
Dawn, but, that made,
you know,
my,
what I mean? You might
see
a cheap fare.
That made my palms sweat just thinking of it. Because I think
no,
I'm going to get stranded somewhere else. No, I'm like, oh my God, if
no,
I book it one way, I'm going to get stranded there.
I don't mean wait to book your return when you're there, but like what I'm saying is, like, say you want to come to see the Cubs in Phoenix for spring training from Chicago, right? And you're looking and you're like, oh my gosh, the round trip ticket is whatever. You know, find a flight that you like, say from Chicago to Phoenix, and book that, and then just keep an eye on the other one if it's really, really high. Maybe it'll come down.
Yeah.
You know, airlines know the busy times,
right?
You know, that's why fares even farther out are so high. They know exactly what's going on. They know the Super Bowl is here, you know, in 2 weeks. So, you know, they're very smart and, you know, have computer systems that manage this stuff to a T. So just play around if you have time is my suggestion.
I like this. You wrote a really interesting story about the rules before sending kids, you know, maybe to visit grandma or something on a flight. This is a whole the Wild West with some of these rules, and you really got to be careful, don't you?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I did. I learned some stuff in that. My kids are grown, but they never had to fly unaccompanied. But, you know, for a lot of people, that's reality, whether it's a custody arrangement or, you know, grandparents in another state and the whole family can't afford to go spend the summer there, you know, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, I knew the general rules because airlines are very strict about it. But, you know, kind of until this Southwest meltdown, you know, I hadn't thought about that angle about, you know, kids that were getting stuck, not necessarily stuck at airports, but stuck at grandma's or missing Christmas at home, you know, because they had said, okay, well, so-and-so's coming back on Christmas Eve. Well, you know, and that's, by the way, that Southwest thing obviously is the extreme, but that can also happen. It happened this week in you know, in Texas with the weather. You know, they can just, And they do it for safety, and they do it. They don't want to strand kids, especially. So they can say, you know what, we're not gonna take unaccompanied minors for this period of time. It's just something people have to be aware of. It's not necessarily a knock on the program, but it is definitely something people should be aware of, especially if they've never sent a kid flying alone.
All right, and you can read that at the Wall Street Journal, by the way. Dawn Gilbert, so we're chatting with. Got about a minute left. I know you guys did a wrap-up at the end of the year about the best and worst airports. First of all, really quickly, how did you guys come up with the list? And O'Hare didn't fare too well.
Well, the airports were based on, and we just did an airline ranking too, and it's all based on solid metrics. It's based on, you know, on-time performance, delays, in some cases, in the airport case, amenities and so forth. And San Francisco came out atop that list, and no shocker here, the New York airport came out at the bottom.
Yeah, if anyone's ever been in LaGuardia for an extended period of time, I once spent, it was maybe 16 hours in LaGuardia, not on my top 10 experiences out there. And you're right, San Francisco, I loved you reading through why that, one of the reasons why, is because it's peaceful. They limit their overhead announcements. Even in the busiest of times, there's sort of a zen to it. I guess that makes sense in San Francisco.
Sure, but also, if you haven't been to LaGuardia in a while, you need to get there. Because that's a whole new place.
I've heard that the new terminals and stuff are updated, so I'll have to go check it out.
It's pretty stunning. Yeah, you won't recognize it.
Well, Dawn, it's been great to meet you here on this program, and I hope you come back again soon, okay?
Thanks very much. Chicago is my favorite city.
Oh, do you say that on every radio station you go on?
No, I actually don't. I actually lived in Chicago, and I absolutely love the city, and I miss the lake.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. I can't really see much of it, and it's a little cold over here. But, Dawn, I'll wave
hi
for you, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, thank you. All right, thanks for having me.
For sure.
Bye-bye.